Well, good evening. It is good to be with you all here tonight. Thank you again for letting us come and be a part of your Missions Month and really just sharing our burden to the U.S. military and how we can reach them. And I am Jason Winango again here with my wife, Carrie, and Henry's out there tonight. And I know that he appreciated the music just as much as I did, and I'm sure you did as well. So thank you very much for that song and for the Frasers as well and the tremendous testimony that they have and their faithfulness in that as well. 2 Kings chapter 5 here tonight, 2 Kings chapter 5. And I'll tell you, if there's one thing I like, it's a good military story. And this is a great military story about a military guy, and his name is Naaman. Of course, we read there in the passage that Naaman had a problem, didn't he? That problem was he had an incurable disease called leprosy. And then there's this little girl that enters into the picture, and she has something to say. And what she says not only makes it up to Naaman's wife, but gets to Naaman's servant's ears and to Naaman's ears, and then travels up to the king of Syria's ears, and then crosses political boundaries and reaches the king of Israel's ears, and then makes it all the way to the prophet Elisha. That's a pretty tremendous I think, amount of influence there, that some little words that she said made it and had such an impact. Well, about Naaman himself, and I think we could study this out, and we could see that Naaman is really a tremendous picture of God reaching into the life of a sinner and pulling them out of that sinful lifestyle and cleansing them from that sin. And I believe by the end of this story here that Naaman places his faith in the Lord, of course, looking forward unto the coming of Christ. And I think you can make a very good argument for that. But I really do want to focus on this little maid girl here tonight. And the title of the message here is Little Is Much When God Is In It. Of course, you'll probably recognize that from the song there, but Little Is Much When God Is In It. Have you ever stopped to think, why did Naaman listen to this little girl? Why listen to a slave girl? What was it about her character? What was it about the way that she lived as a slave in his household that compelled them to take what she said seriously and act upon that? Well, I think we can see that in the text here tonight, and we're going to look at that here this evening. I do just want to take a moment to pray before I begin to look through the text here tonight. Dear Heavenly Father, just thank you for this evening. Thank you for the word that you have given us and the many lessons that it has for us. Pray that you would just help us to glean the truths that you would have for us here tonight. Pray everything said and done would be in accordance to your honor and to your glory. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Verse number one here. Now Naaman, captain of the host of the king of Syria, was a great man with his master and honorable because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. He was also a mighty man in valor, but he was a leper. And the Syrians had gone out by companies and brought away captive out of the land of Israel a little maid. And she waited on Naaman's wife. And she said unto her mistress, would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy. Boy, some tremendous truths already right there. But why would this little girl have Naaman's best interest in mind? Naaman was the one responsible for her capture. Naaman was the one responsible for her enslavement. Naaman was the one responsible for tearing her away from her homeland, bringing her to a place where she didn't know the people, she didn't know the language, she was unfamiliar with all of that, and yet she had this attitude of goodwill towards Naaman and wanted his well-being. Well, what was it about her? What was it that she believed that we ought also to believe that made such a difference in not only her attitude and outlook, but in the lives of those around her as well as Naaman? Well, first of all, point number one here, we see that simply what you believe matters. What you believe matters. And letter A here, the first thing that I want you to see here, really in verse number one, is that we must believe that God is the supreme authority in our life, that God is the supreme authority in our life. Verse number one, again, says this, Naaman was a great man with his master because of what Naaman had done? No, not because of what Naaman had done, but rather, we see in the text here, because by him the Lord had given deliverance unto Syria. I believe that this little girl recognized that the situation that she was in was because of the Lord's doing in her life. And she recognized the circumstances surrounding her capture, surrounding her being placed in Naaman's household, was all part of God's plan for her. Even though the circumstances, I'm sure, were certainly difficult, yet she recognized this truth that God was ruling in her life. And she recognized that the Lord had specifically put Naaman in the place of authority and power and honor that he was in. Well, how many of you have ever worked for a boss that you didn't like? Right? Probably a few of you. I can tell you that my time in the military, I've also had a few of those. Except for in the military, you pretty much have to do what they say or you get in big trouble, right? But every once in a while, I would have a boss and they would ask me to do something and I would think, that's not a good idea. And sometimes I was right, sometimes I wasn't. But sometimes we have to work for those people that we just don't necessarily get along with. And yet at the same time, we have to recognize the fact, well, that God has placed them in a position of authority for a reason. And one of those reasons might just be so that we could live out a godly testimony before them. And so they can wonder at the way we're living and wonder what is different about us. How is this person able to live and work under me and still respect me and yet have this tremendous attitude and good nature towards me, even though I know he doesn't like me or I don't really care for this employer or whatever the situation may be. So I really believe that she recognized that truth, that God was the supreme authority in her life. Romans 13:1 says this, "Let every soul be subject unto the higher powers, for there is no power but of God. The powers that be are ordained of God." 1 Timothy 2, verse 1 and following, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior," here's the reason why, "who will have all men to be saved and to come unto the knowledge of the truth." Well, it's a lot easier to share the gospel with a employer when you've been living in a respectful way under them, isn't it? And I think that we could probably all share some testimony to that extent. Certainly doesn't make it easier all the time, but it can be a tremendous help to us when we live that way. Secondly here, another thing that she believed that we should also believe is that we must believe in a God that can do the impossible. We must continue to believe in a God that can do the impossible. Well, nobody can heal anybody of leprosy, can they, right? That is only something that the Lord can do. The Lord has to intervene in somebody's life to be able to have that healing. And that little girl recognized that she did not have the ability to heal Naaman. In spite of her good wishes and wanting him to be healed and her desire for him to be healed, she couldn't do it. But she knew that God had gifted the prophet Elisha in such a way that Elisha would be able to heal Naaman if only Naaman would go and find Elisha in the land of Israel. She believed that God was still able to do impossible things. Even in her circumstances, even where she was, she recognized that God was still at work and was able to do those impossible things. Mark 10:27, "And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God, for with God all things are possible." Well, what is it that happens in a person's life when they place their faith and trust in Christ? Well, it's really something impossible apart from the Holy Spirit's conviction in that person's life and that person making the decision to place their faith in Christ. I want to read you just a quote from a book that I had read a little while ago, a fairly well-known apologist. This is what he writes in his testimony. "For most of my life, I was a proud Muslim. I thought Islam was the truest path to paradise, and every other worldview, especially Christianity, was wrong. My identity as a Muslim was at stake. Coming to embrace the truth about Jesus took me 9 long years. It did not take me 9 years to find the truth. It took me 9 years to accept it." Elsewhere in his book, he wrote, "The very first time he heard the message of the gospel, he recognized that as being the truth. And yet he stubbornly rejected that truth for 9 years. Well, what happened during that 9-year period? well, something impossible, right? The Lord began to work in his heart and in his life, and eventually he came to the place where he recognized that he needed to place his faith and trust in Christ, and he made that decision to do so. Do you still believe God can do impossible things? I think every time a person places their faith in Christ, that is an impossible thing apart from the work of Christ. What a blessing it is that we have been able to share that truth with others. God still does impossible things. Thirdly, we see that she believed in the goodness and grace of God. She believed in the goodness and grace of God. Again, I find it remarkable that she had Naaman's best interest in mind. And, you know, it's really interesting to me that she, a little Jewish slave girl, would have a diseased Gentile slave owner's best interest in mind. And I think that's pretty astounding that she recognized this truth, that God was willing to show grace and mercy to anyone, even someone like Naaman. And she really believed that. And not only did she believe that, but can you imagine the religious Pharisees and Sadducees of Jesus' day learning about Naaman and the fact that the Lord chose to heal him? Jesus even made a comment about that in Luke 4:27. This is what Jesus says to the religious leaders of his day who didn't believe that God's grace could be extended to the Gentiles. Jesus said, "And many lepers were in Israel at the time of Elias the prophet, and none of them was cleansed, saving Naaman the Syrian." I tell you, that upset them. They didn't want to accept that truth, and they tried to kill him in that moment because of those words that he has said about Naaman. Well, I'm glad that God's goodness and grace was extended to me. I hope that we can all recognize the fact that we need to be sharing that goodness and grace with others. Nobody is beyond God's goodness and God's grace, and you can't share the gospel with the wrong person. And we recognize those truths. And she believed that, and she lived that out. And that was part of her testimony and part of one of the reasons why I believe Naaman and his household listened to her and what she said. Fourth thing that she believed here, or letter D, is we must believe godly people will do what we cannot do. We must believe that godly people will do what we cannot do. Again, she knew that she did not possess the ability to heal Naaman, but she knew that Elisha did have that ability from the Lord. And she knew that if Naaman was only be able to get to Elisha, Elisha would be faithful to do as the Lord saw fit, which was to heal Naaman of his leprosy. Aren't you glad that there are people here who can do the things that you can't do? I'm glad there's people here who can sing. You wouldn't want me to do that. I'll assure you of that, right? But God has placed every person in a local body, a church, and those members are there to help one another. And we recognize that truth in missions as well. Romans 12:4, "For as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office, so we being many are one body in Christ, everyone members one of another, having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given us." Godly people will do those things that we cannot do. When we think about missions and missionaries, you have a missionary, you send him to a place like the Philippines, and you are trusting that they're going to do the things that God has called them to do faithfully there. And at the same time, that missionary is relying on the local church that sent them to be faithful in doing the work that God has called them to do right where they are here in the States or wherever that local church may be. So you have this mutual trust and working with one another, with the larger body of Christ in that. We have to have faith that godly people will do those things that we can't do. I tell you, it's a tremendous blessing to realize that you don't have to do it all by yourself, too. One of the privileges that we have on deputation is to be able to go and see a lot of tremendous works that God is doing in a lot of tremendous churches all around the country. And it is a tremendous encouragement to know that there's more than one good church in America, right? There's a lot of them. And we have the privilege of being in a lot of them as well. So I hope that's an encouragement. Not every church can reach the entire world, but the whole collective body of Christ has a very good shot at doing just that, and we can fulfill what Christ has called us to do in that regard. What do you believe here tonight? Is the Lord the supreme authority in your life? I hope so. I hope so. Do you believe that the Lord can still do impossible things? Perhaps there's something impossible that needs to be done in your heart or in your life or in the life of someone you know. Well, you can trust the Lord that He is able to do that. You can seek Him in prayer and do that. Do you believe that God's goodness and grace is available for even you? It is. It's available for you. It's available for me. And it's available for everyone. And we need to remember those truths as we can. And the fact that godly people will do those things that we necessarily can't do on our own. Point number two here, if what you believe matters, what you say certainly matters. How many of you have worked in an environment where you've worked with someone who says they're a Christian, but you would never know by the way they talk, right? I think we've probably all experienced that. Well, what does that tell us? It tells us that that person really doesn't believe what they're saying they believe. There's a disconnect there. We call that, you know, hypocrisy. They're not really following through, being honest in their values as they portray them. And so it's important when we think about the things that we say. And I think it's a tremendous benefit to see that this little girl actually spoke up and she did say something. And because she said something, she was able to have that impact that she had in Naaman's life. Letter A here, we see that we will say what we believe. We will say what we believe. Eventually, what we really believe is going to be expressed either by what we do or by what we say. And we just know that to be true. And I think it's very interesting what she says here in verse number 3. Verse number 3 says this, "And she said unto her mistress, Would God my Lord were with the prophet that is in Samaria, for he would recover him of his leprosy." Well, first of all, it's a message of concern and care for others. Again, I find it amazing that she had Naaman's best interest in mind. She had Naaman's best interest in mind, and she was willing to say something about that. But not only was it a message of concern and care, it was a message of hope. She was probably the only person in Naaman's household who knew the answer to his predicament, who could give him what he really needed, which was to be healed, and of course place his faith in the Lord there. But it was a message of hope. And of course, you and I, we have the hope of the gospel, and that's a message that we need to be sharing. And when we're sharing that message of hope, it'll go a whole lot further if we also have concern and care for others with that same message. So sometimes we can be a little bit too harsh when we share the truth, but we can see in the Lord Jesus that He was that perfect balance of grace and truth together, was able to speak that truth, and also with the grace to be able to have people recognize and hear that message in a way where they were able to accept that. Thirdly here, she expressed God's will for Naaman's life. And I find this really astounding. Well, how do we know what she said was God's will? It's because God recorded it in His Word that He brought it to pass. And I think that's a tremendous point there. You know, that you and I can speak God's general will into people's lives. God's general will is that He desires all men to be saved. He has that written down here in His Word. And we recognize that, so we don't have to wonder about what God's general will is in some cases. God does have a specific will, right, for you and for I, and that we have to do a little bit more prayer over, a little bit more study, and really just communion with the Lord. But we know what God's general will is. He desires all men to be saved. And she was willing to express that in what she said. And again, the fact that she was willing to say something, I think, is a point of tremendous value. Let her be here. People are listening. People are listening. Well, if you have children, you know those kids are listening. Sometimes you don't think they are. But they are listening more closely than you realize. I know that's a lesson that Carrie and I are always learning more and more. We'll jump in the car and we'll be heading down the road, and then Henry will say something like, oh, he heard that. Maybe we should be a little bit more cautious about what we say. Or we'll jump in the car and we're going down the road and he'll say something that he learned in Sunday school. And we're like, oh, he finally caught something, right? He was listening. Praise the Lord. He learned something today, right? He does a very good job. He's a good kid, and we are very thankful for him. But we recognize that truth. People are listening. You know, I think a lot of times we feel like we have to be in a position of great authority or of great influence to be able to speak truth into somebody's life so that they'll actually pay attention and listen to what we have to say. And the story of this little girl reminds us that's not true. It's because it's not about our influence and it's not about what we can do, but rather it's about what the Lord can do through us. And that he makes up the difference in influence that we lack. And that's the way that it's supposed to be. We don't have to have great position, great authority to be able to speak truth into people's lives. The Lord is able to make up on our part what is lacking. And that's a good thing, right? Paul said, I'll rejoice in my infirmities. And that's a tremendous lesson for us there. But people indeed are listening. And they're listening a whole lot closer than we think we are in most cases. I think that's another good point for us. Point number three here, how you view servanthood matters. How you view servanthood matters. And if you study throughout the chapter here and into the next chapter or so, you're going to see picture after picture after picture and interaction after interaction after interaction of servants with the people that they serve. Of course, Naaman himself is a servant to the king of Syria. Elisha is a servant to the Lord. This little girl, she is a servant to Naaman's wife. Elisha has a servant that takes his message to Naaman, right? And then Naaman gets upset about that later in the story. And then Elisha's servant ends up being an example of not such a good servant later on in the story. And then Naaman eventually takes a bath in the river because his servants come to him and entreat him and deal with him. And eventually he's able to overcome his pride and goes down and washes in the Jordan River. So we see all these different interactions with servants. So what can we learn from those interactions? What do we see there? Well, letter A here, a position of service is a position of influence. A position of service is a position of influence. You realize that this little girl never would have had the impact that she had in Naaman's life had she first not been willing to submit herself under the authority of his household. She would have never had that influence. You know, there have been places that I've been able to go with the U.S. Air Force, countries that I've been able to visit, and I would have never had the opportunity to go there. I would have never had the privilege of having any influence in any of those places had I first not willingly submitted myself underneath the authority of the United States government. And you know, it works the same way in our Christian lives. You can't possibly expect to have a powerful testimony or a powerful witness with others if you're not first not submitted underneath God's authority. It just doesn't work that way. And so we learn that we have to be submitted under God's authority in that. And at the same time, we recognize that really that position of service that we are in, that is what enables us to have the influence that we have. And we see that very clearly through this story here. Luke 22:24 and following says this, and there was also strife among them which of them should be accounted the greatest. And he said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise a lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. But ye shall not be so. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, and he that is chief as he that doth serve. And that's what this little girl did. She served, and because of that, she was able to have a tremendous influence in Naaman's life. Letter B here under point three, we are most like Christ when we serve others. We are most like Christ when we serve others. Remember what Christ said about his earthly ministry? He said, I haven't even come to do my own will. I've come to do my Father's will. So we recognize that even in Christ. Of course, Philippians 2 and following there is the classic passage on that. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, and that's a condition assumed true. We know that these things are found in Christ. You could read it this way, since there is consolation in Christ, since there is comfort of love, since there is fellowship of the Spirit, since there is bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem others better than themselves. Look not every man on his own thing, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. Well, that little girl, through her life, lived that out in front of Naaman, and because of that, they were willing to listen to what she had to say. Let her see here, when we faithfully serve God, he sees, he knows, and hears, will be with us and reward us for our service. We don't know how old this little girl was. We don't know her name. We don't know anything else about her. The Bible doesn't say anything else about her. We only have one verse of scripture that actually records what she actually says. But I bet when Naaman got back from his trip, she probably lived a pretty good life. I bet Naaman really took care of her when he got home. And I bet when people saw Naaman, they knew that he was a leper, and they were going to ask him, well, what happened to you? You were a leper. You know, what happened? How did you get healed? And he was going to tell them, well, there was this little girl, and she told me about this God down in Israel, and I went down there and checked it out, and you know what? It's true. And what a tremendous testimony that little girl had and influenced just through the changed lives of those around her. And everyone in Naaman's household would have known what happened. I can guarantee you that. I'm sure that Naaman took care of her. But beyond that, the Lord honored her greatly, didn't he? The Lord recorded her story in Scripture for all of us to learn from. And her story is preserved there really for the end of time. And what a tremendous testimony to her character and the way that she lived her life. Well, my pastor always tells us that you know how well of a servant you are when someone treats you like one, right? That can be a pretty challenging, I guess, statement to accept, but it really is true. How good are we at being servants for Christ? What is it that we really believe? What are we believing here tonight? And what is it that we say? And how are we serving others? Are we like Christ in our service to others? Well, that is all I have for you tonight. I'll ask you maybe to stand. And thank you so much for having us and listening to me tonight. I'll call Pastor to close out the service here.